بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آداب المعاشرة is a very important branch of Sharia. And the principle upon which Adabul Muasharat is based is that one should not cause any harm to any human. One's action, one's behavior, one's conversation should not become a means of causing harm to someone else. This is the basis of Adabul Muasharat. So when one comes in a majlis and there is shortage of space in the room, then each and every person should sit close to each other so that they do not become a cause of harm to those people who come later on. They do not become a means of harm and pain to the speaker, because if they don't sit together, then during the course of speech, during the course of conversation, whilst delivering the discourse, the speaker will have to be interrupted and he will have to say, please all of you sit together because there is no room now. Similarly, people should not sit where people are going to, from where people are going to enter the room. Now we have got a lot of space at the back on the left hand side. There is a lot of space at the back in the front. There is a lot of space at the back on the right hand side. But if the people who come in late sit right next to the entrance, then they will become a means of harm and cause of harm to those people who will come late, because they will not be able to enter the room. So becoming a cause of harm to anybody is against the Adabul Muasharat. If the Muslims were to hold fast to this branch of Sharia, Adabul Muasharat, then everybody would find so much peace. And the non-Muslims, by observing the etiquettes of Muasharat, the etiquettes of social life, and the adab of Muasharat, would be compelled to question the Muslims. Why are you doing this? Why were you so careful in this matter, in this regard? That would give us the opportunity to explain to them the teachings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Once I was sitting in the Haram Sharif between Maghrib and Isha Salat with the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. About half an hour or three quarter of an hour before Isha Salat, I wanted to go to the hotel to relieve myself. So I asked Hazrat's permission, and whilst asking his permission, I said, inshallah you will remain here until after Isha. And my intention was that if you are going to stay here until after Isha, then after relieving myself, I will return to this place again and we will meet each other. So because Hazrat had undergone spiritual training under a very professional Sheikh, Dr. Abdullahi Arifi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who was a distinguished Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala initially was a lawyer. And thereafter, because he was not too happy with his practice as a lawyer, he chose to become a doctor. And he himself states that whilst I was studying at Aligarh University, I started my Islahi Taalluq with Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali. And this Taalluq remained for many years, for about 13 to 15 years. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala at that time was a very young man. He was a student studying at the Aligarh University to become a lawyer. Dr. Sab Rahmatullahi Alayhi himself states that after becoming ba'it to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi and after accepting him as my sheikh, for 13 to 15 years until Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi breathed his last and he left this world for his final abode, I made sure of writing a letter every week to him, informing him of my religious and spiritual condition. For 13 to 15 years, if I can remember correctly, it was a long time from the time he had become Ba'at until Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali passed away. Not a single week passed where he did not inform his sheikh of his condition. Because at that time, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali demanded from his murids that they should let him know every week what their condition is. Unlike the demand that is upon you at this moment that you should be informing your sheikh every 2 months of your spiritual condition. And whether he received the reply from Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi or not, he made sure that his spiritual doctor, his spiritual mentor, exactly knew where his spiritual patient was, where his spiritual disciple was. So when he decided to leave his practice as a lawyer and become a doctor, he informed his sheikh. The sheikh also agreed. And thereafter he became a doctor. And the very first time he opened his surgery, he informed his sheikh that, Hazrat, from this day I will begin my practice as a doctor. So in reply to this letter, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi wrote back. And in that letter, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi wrote to him saying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you lot of barakah in this practice of yours as a doctor. And at the same time, because I am giving you khilafah, you must also start your surgery of as a spiritual doctor. So Dr. Abdullahi Arifi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala was a very great sheikh of his time. It is for this very reason Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, despite being one of the leading khulafas of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and despite knowing the talents in his sons, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani and Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum. He advised them to become bad to Dr. Abdullah Yarifi Rahmatullahi Ali. So Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani and Mufti Rafi Usmani both were trained under the patronship, the guardianship of Dr. Abdullah Yarifi Rahmatullahi Ali. And Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sab Rahmatullahi Ali, he used to advise all his murids who were in Pakistan, who were in Karachi, to benefit from the company of Dr. Abdullah Yarifi Rahmatullahi Ali. And it is for this reason my late Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi Sab Rahmatullahi Ali, used to go into the majlis of Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahmatullahi Ali on a regular basis every week because of the instruction from his Sheikh. So one can imagine the position of Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahmatullahi Ali. The Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sab Rahmatullahi Ali, is also instructing one of his very leading disciples, Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, to go and sit in the company of Dr. Abdullah Yarifi Rahmatullahi Ali. And my Sheikh, whenever he used to be in Karachi, he would make sure that he went into the company of Dr. Abdullah Yarifi Rahmatullahi Ali. And it is due to this frequent visit to Dr. Saab Rahmatullahi Ali's majlis, when Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Saab Rahmatullahi Ali honored my Sheikh with Khilafat, and when he informed Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahmatullahi Ali that Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sab Rahmatullahi Ali has granted me Khilafat, on the spot Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahmatullahi Ali also granted him Khilafat. So Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, when I asked for permission and when I said, Hazrat, I need to go to relieve myself and I presume you will sit in this place until after Isha, because that was his practice in that year. And every day we used to meet up together between Maghrib and Isha, and we used to spend time in the Haram together. So I said, I presume you will stay here until Isha. So he understood what I meant. He understood that I was trying to say that after relieving myself, I will come here and I will meet you here, either before Isha or after Isha. So he said to me, yes, that is my intention, but you are also free and I am also free. So I didn't understand what he was trying to say. So he explained further. He said, you are also free and I am also free. It is my intention to stay here and I would like you to come back and meet me here. But if for any reason you cannot come back, then you are free. And if for any reason I decide to leave from here before after Isha, then I am also free. Now it's a very small thing if we don't ponder over this statement of Mufti Rafi Usmani. But this is because of the spiritual training that he had. The training of Adabul Muasharat. That a person should behave and conduct himself with another fellow human being in such a way that he does not cause any inconvenience to him. So what Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, was referring to was that if, say, for any reason he had to leave, then number one, he would be inconvenienced. Shall I go or shall I not go? Shall I go or shall I not go? I want to go, but I can't go. If I go and if Salim comes here searching for me, what will happen to him? So that will cause him inconvenience. He will leave in emergency. This will cause him so much pain afterwards as well. Maybe Salim is looking for me. Maybe Salim is there looking for me. Maybe Salim is waiting for me. And it would also cause me inconvenience. Cause me inconvenience. I will come there. He is not there. I will start looking for him. I will think to myself that has something happened to Hazrat. I may think to myself that maybe Hazrat has just gone for tawaf and he will come back after half an hour. It will keep me waiting. And the other scenario, if I didn't want to come back for some reason, I would have been compelled to come back. And if I couldn't come back, it would cause me inconvenience. Hazrat must be waiting for me. Maybe he's still there. Maybe he's not gone yet. Maybe he's waiting for me. And if I didn't come back, it would cause him so much inconvenience. That is he going to come or is he not going to come? Shall I leave or shall I stay here? So he said, you are free and I am free. That means if you don't come back, no problem. I will carry on according to my routine. And if you come here and don't find me, then you carry on according to your routine because I am also free and you are also free. It was a very small statement. I didn't pay too much attention. I went to the hotel. And when I reached the hotel, I was informed that somebody was looking for me. And the guests were from Panama. And whilst the person on the counter was still informing me of these guests, because they saw me from outside, they entered the hotel. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. And I was not very free with them, so I could not be informal with them. I had to treat them with so many formalities. And now I was definite that I will not make it back to see Hazrat before Isha. And even after Isha, if they decide to stay with me, I may have to prepare some food for them and entertain them. I will not be able to go back to Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib Damod Barakatuh. That is the time I valued his statement. That is the time I valued the teaching of Sharia of Adabul Muasharat. Nowadays, this particular branch of Sharia is ignored by all of us. All of us. We all need to keep a copy of Adabul Muasharat written by, compiled by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Adabul Muasharat is daily read at Masjid Al Farooq. Every day we read one point of Adabul Muasharat. If you look, if you listen to these adabs and these etiquettes and if you ponder over them, they are unique. And you will find that, think about the adab, that this is how you should behave. When doing salam, this is how you should behave. When entering your home, this is how you should behave. When doing musafa, this is how you should behave. If you think very carefully and if you ponder over this adab, you will find that if a person was not to practice this adab, he would become a cause of pain and inconvenience and harm and loss to his fellow human beings. So keep Adabul Muasharat with you and study 1 point, 2 points, 3 points daily and put it into practice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very particular about Adabul Muasharat. The Sahaba-i Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain were very, very particular about Adabul Muasharat. A Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who belonged to the group of Ashab-i-Suffa. Ashab-i-Suffa were those companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who had forsaken everything for the cause of deen, for the cause of ilmi nubuwa. They would spend all their time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was like a darloom of that time. They would sleep there, they would spend all their time there, and whenever they had the opportunity to listen to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would not let go of that opportunity. And whatever food that was passed on to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the other sahaba, sadaqa, hadiyya, zakat, and because they were poor, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feed them. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was also a member of this group, the Ashab-i-Suffa. So the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, who were part of the group of Ashab-i-Suffa, they narrate that if for any reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam returned to his home, which was right next to Masjid-e-Nabawi, and Ashab-i-Suffa were right next to it, if he returned very late, he had an engagement in Quba or in another locality of Madina Munawwara, and he returned very late, after Isha. Then, if he passed by the people of Ashabi Suffa, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, who were sleeping there, then he would convey his salam before passing from there. He would greet them. He would say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, look at the moderation in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the equilibrium in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he just passed by the Ashab-e-Suffa without greeting them, then there could be somebody who is still awake. He would be deprived of the salam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be deprived of this teaching of deen, that if you meet a Muslim brother, you should greet him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If somebody is sleeping, then this teaching does not imply. But if somebody is awake, then this teaching implies that you should say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But if he said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and those sahaba who are sleeping, they are disturbed by his greeting and they wake up, that is also against the teaching of Islam. Because you should not make noise and wake people up from their sleep. So the sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in narrate that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come home late, then he used to greet us. But he used to greet us in a moderate tone. And the sahaba very clearly state that he used to greet us in such a manner that the person who was awake would hear him and the person who was asleep would not be disturbed. This is how careful he was about adabul muasharat. Now, my young friends, think for a minute. Think for a minute. If the sahaba were woken from their sleep by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then that awakening was with the greeting, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, with the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how happy they would have been. That, oh, we want to sit down in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, middle of the night, but no problem. We are sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how happy they were. The love the sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just cannot imagine. We just cannot imagine. Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum is a great scholar accepted by both the Arab and the non-Arabs. Even the Arab scholar accept him as an authority on Islam. So Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says that the sahaba had so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if the approximately 124,000 sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majma'in were asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if all of you give your life away, 124,000 lives, and very precious lives, life of Abu Bakr, life of Umar, life of Uthman, life of Ali, life of Abu Huraira, life of Abdullah ibn Abbas, very precious lives, life of Aisha radiyallahu anhu majma'in, very precious lives, 124,000 lives. If they were asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if all of you give your life away, then I will increase the life of your Nabi by 1 second. So if you give all your lives away, in return of those lives, I will give my Nabi 1 second. The Sahaba had so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that just to increase that 1 second in his life, they would have been prepared to sacrifice their lives. We cannot imagine. A Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was in his garden, in his garden when he was given the news of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as he heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, he immediately turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he prayed to Allah. Imagine how sincere his prayer must have been. He said, Oh Allah, I used to cool my eyes by looking at your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that he has departed, it is not possible for me to do that. And after the demise of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have no interest in seeing anything in your creation. I do not want to see anything else. He had wife, he had children, he had friends. There were so many other things to see. He said, I have no interest whatsoever in anything other than your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, there is no point in this eyesight. Take my eyesight away. The dua had come from the depth of his heart. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his eyesight. This is the love that they had. So if the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain were woken from their sleep by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his greeting loudly, that disturbed their sleep, and they would have been, the pleasure that they would have acquired from seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been much more than the pleasure they were deriving from sleep. After the Battle of Uhud, a lady asks somebody from the Muslim soldiers that, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fine? Where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the people in Medina Munawwara, the ladies in Medina Munawwara, the children in Medina Munawwara, the disabled Sahaba in Medina Munawwara who could not go into the Battle of Uhud, they knew that the Muslims had suffered a loss in the Battle of Uhud. And they were all worried because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teeth were martyred. His face was disturbed as well. And they were worried about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's condition. So she said, where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is he feeling? So somebody said that, your husband has been martyred. Husband has been martyred. But nothing. There was no feeling whatsoever. She said, I am asking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So somebody said that, your son has been martyred. So she said, I am not asking about my son. I am asking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So somebody said that, your father has been martyred or your brother has been martyred. Three out of these four relations, which are the closest to a lady, husband, father, son and brother, out of these four, three were martyred. So she kept on insisting that, I am not asking about my father, I am not asking about my brother, I am asking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So somebody said that, Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fine and he is sitting in the Masjid-e-Nabawi, he has arrived safely. So this lady went straight to the masjid. The verses of the hijab were not yet revealed. She went, and when she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now imagine the musibah, the calamity that had befallen her. Three of her very, or the most closest related male were martyred in the Battle of Uhud. But when she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statement that she uttered at that time was, Kullu musibatin ba'daka kaleel. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any grief, any musibah, any calamity, after seeing your blessed face does not exist. There is no musibah, there is no pain, there is no grief after seeing your blessed face. This is how much the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain loved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's greeting was to wake them up from their sleep, that would not have been a calamity or pain or inconvenience. That would have been a means of comfort for them. But despite that, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew the needs of the physical needs of a human body. So whenever he used to pass by, he used to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And his tone was such that the person sleeping would not be disturbed and the person awake would hear it. So what we need to do, my young friends, many of you are spiritually associated to me. We need to learn deen. We need to learn deen. We need to correct our adabul muasharat. We need to make our lives in such a way that we do not cause any inconvenience to anybody. No inconvenience. We have become so selfish that we are concerned about our state of affairs only. We are not concerned about anybody else. If we want something done at 12 o'clock, we are not concerned about the person we need to help us. If we need somebody to assist us, we are not concerned about his state of affairs, his circumstances. All we are concerned about is ourselves. I want this done and I want this done. End of the story. It is not fair. It is not fair on the person that we are asking favor from. What we need to do is we need to make sure that we do not cause any harm to anybody. We do not cause any inconvenience to anybody. We do not become a means of compulsion. And we do not compel anybody to do something despite him not being wanting to do. That is why one of the reasons many of my associates and friends ask me why despite embarking on a very large project, project worth 4 to 5 million pounds, we do not go to people's home on a one-to-one base to collect funds. One of the reasons is adabul muasharat. When we tell people that this is our project, please donate towards our project. So we are not compelling anybody. We are giving each and every person the liberty to take this, to decide and contribute whatever he wants to. But if we go to people's home, if we start talking to them, then we will be compelling them. They will not be at liberty to take the decision. This feeling may come to them that I didn't want to give anything, but now that they've come to my doorstep, I will have to give. And Mufti Ibrahim is here and Mufti Suleiman is here. How can I just give them £50? I have to give £200. Or Salim has come himself personally. How can I just give him £500? I will have to give him £2,000. It doesn't look nice if I give him only £500. So now we are compelling people to give. And by compelling people to donate, we are violating a hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst breaking a hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we construct our academy or our masjid, this academy will have no barakah whatsoever. It will not be able to become the means of guidance for people. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will create the means inshallah. All we need to do is to let the people know what our needs are. Just let them know. Let the people know what our needs are and give them the liberty to decide what they want to give. So, adabul muasharat is very, very important. Very, very important. The etiquette of musafa is that if the hands of the person you wish to do musafa with is engaged, then you should not do musafa with him. At that time, it is not sunnah to do musafa with him. Because musafa and shaking hands is sunnah. And to cause taklif to somebody is haram. And now you will cause him taklif. If his hands are engaged, how are you going to shake hands with him? Somebody is sitting for he is performing his salat. And you sit right next to him. And you wait for him. There is no other door at the front that he is going to escape from you. He is going to go through that same door. So why not wait for him at the door? You come right next to him, now he is reciting his wazifa or he is making his dua. Now you are confusing him. Why does he want to, why has he come? What does he want from me? Who is he? Sit behind. Sit behind so that he cannot see you, he cannot feel you. Some people immediately after fard salat, when they are performing salat next to you and they've seen you after 2 weeks or 3 weeks or they've come from London or Bolton, they want to shake hands with you immediately. Now there are certain people who have certain wazaif after the prayer, who want to perform, make dua after the prayer. And there are certain people who have been given certain wazaif that they need to recite after the fard salat without talking to anybody, without engaging in conversation with anybody. Now you want to shake your hands, shake hands with him. Some people are in a hurry. So if you are in a hurry, you leave. Why is musafa so important for you? If musafa is important, you wait for the person you want to meet. And if you are in a hurry, then you leave. What do people do? You finish 2 rakat sunnat and you are just about to start your 2 rakat nafal and he is in front of you. And he wants to shake hands with you at that time. This is all against adabul muasharat. Adabul muasharat, you must not cause any inconvenience to anybody. You want to get married to somebody and you are asking a person to intercede for you who does not want to become part of that marriage. And you compel him to do that for you. You keep pestering him that please intercede for me. Please put in a good word for me. This is against adabul muasharat. You want to do collection from somebody and you want to take somebody with you that come and please come with me and we want to go and do collection. And he says, no, please leave me alone. I'm not very keen in on collection. You are compelling him to go with you. This is again Sadabul Mashal. So many things we need to learn. And if we are not careful about Adabul Muasharat, and if we continue to pester people, if we continue to hurt people, then on the day of Qiyamah, all this Salat and Tilawat and Wazaif that we are reciting, the sawab of all these Ibadat will be given to this person, these people we are pestering, and we are causing inconvenience to. If the students in all the boarding Madaris understand the concept of Adabul Muasharat, there will be no complaint from one student of another student to the principal. If we understand the concept of Adabul Muasharat. Sunday morning we have 2-3 students who don't want to sleep. But we know that majority of the people want to sleep on Sunday morning because that is the only day they get to sleep for more hours. So after Fajr everybody is going to sleep. Now these 2-3 students are walking in the corridor talking so loudly that it is disturbing the people who are sleeping. During the times of imtihan, examination, we know that people have different routine. Some people read throughout the night, go to sleep at lunchtime, go to sleep at 4 o'clock. If we remember Adabul Muasharat, then during the times of examination, everybody will be very careful. All these things are very, very important. Very, very important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will learn this. We will learn this aspect of Adabul Muasharat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.